The show is righter than you, that's for darn sure, but no Bill today. You get me, Joseph Anthony Aloysius McDonald Jr., a.k.a. Jody Mack, your weekend warrior, getting a little extra time this week. Today for Bill, tomorrow night for JR, and then my usual Saturday-Sunday gig. By the time we get to Sunday, you guys are going to be well tired of me. You used to get me 2 days in a row. You get me 4 days in a row. I think you'll be ready to reach through the radio and punch me out by the time we hit Sunday. But we're not there yet. We've got today, tomorrow, before we get to the weekend. And it really, the landscape isn't going to change between now and Sunday. The key sports in play are two, maybe two and a half. You know how big an NBA fan I am. The summer league over and done with. Now we got to wait for camps to open up. I already miss basketball. Hockey will not get underway till a little before football. There is no summer league to the National Hockey League. So, yeah, there's no new news in the NHL world either. Oh, but there's plenty in both baseball and football. And one of the most interesting things is the divergent spots where we're in for both sports. Couldn't be more different. Baseball right at the trade deadline, less than a week to go now. Well, actually slightly more because the trade deadline comes down in the middle of the day. So this time Thursday, everybody's going to be panicked 1 week from now because their team hasn't done anything, didn't do anything, is afraid to do something, won't pay to do something. Oh, you'll hear all the complaints about why their team hasn't added a key piece to make a run for a World Series championship. That's baseball. And games are ongoing. Some good stuff last night. I'll touch on a couple of things right here at the top of the show that came down in baseball last night. But everyone is looking forward to a major playoff run. Now, in the National Football League, it's the same thing, except the finish line is way, 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 way down the road. Probably can't even see it. But we always believe we can see it, and we'll talk about it today. I've got a good football guest who's going to join me a little later on. It is very different to be where the baseball season is at. We're two-thirds of the way through. Key element coming up next week, trade deadline. And that has changed drastically over the years. Shoot, they changed the date. When Joseph Anthony Aloysius McDonald Sr., a.k.a. my dad, traded Tom Seaver from the New York Mets, the franchise, and again, for the 4,782nd time, I'll say it wasn't his idea. He was mandated to do so. Told to do so, ordered to do so by the ownership of the New York Mets. That was on June 15th. They used to have the trade deadline significantly earlier and give credit to Major League Baseball because they pushed it back to the right date. I will take a shot at Major League Baseball because I think they made a mistake a couple of years ago doing away with potential trades in the month of August under certain conditions. But you could still make a trade all the way until September 1st for a player to be eligible to be on a postseason roster. They did away with it, and I think it was a mistake. But we'll get to that in a second. The National Football League also pushed their trade deadline back. Shoot, I remember, wasn't that long ago? 15, 20 years ago? The trade deadline in the NFL would come up in September. At the latest, first Sunday in October, they'd get three or four games in, and then the trade deadline would kick in. So it was foolishness because nobody wanted to make a trade that early in the year. Unless you're 0-4 or you're a surprising 4-0, why would you make a trade? You're still determining whether your roster is good enough or not. So the NFL wisely took a page out of the other sports books. Now you have the NHL, which is the diametrically opposite one. They don't have their trade deadline until about 20 minutes before the season's going to end. I think it's actually kind of ridiculous because, yeah, you can really define who's in the mix for a playoff spot, a legitimate Stanley Cup run. The later you wait, surely the lines are more formed, but now you got to get the guy up to speed. Now you got to get him playing with his teammates. and you got a good couple of weeks at best, 15, 20 games at best, to be able to figure out how he's, what you're going to acquire is going to fit with the players you're keeping in place. The NHL waits way too long. NBA's got a very good deadline. MLB's now got a very good deadline. NFL has a much improved deadline. Yeah, the NHL's still got to figure that. They just got to move it up a little bit. It's ridiculous where it's at right now. But today we will not be talking about the NHL. We won't be talking about the NBA either. We'll be talking specifically baseball and football. And we'll start with baseball because we did have action last night. I remember when Shohei Ohtani signed his contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I understand baseball very well. My father's been in baseball for 60-plus years. I've been on the planet for 60-plus years. I think I've got a grasp on not only evaluating talent, being able to look at guys, see whether they can play or not, be able to watch a season, who are legitimate contenders, who aren't legitimate contenders. Maybe one thing that I'm still short on knowledge, and I think I'm pretty good, but maybe there are intricacies that I don't get. When Shohei Ohtani signed a $700 million contract, I just couldn't understand. Now, I know that in future days, it's the dollar will be worth less and that everything is going to become more expensive. That's just the way it's been trending forever. So, yes, it's, I think, difficult for anybody to be able to figure out, well, how much is he really worth on a year-in, year-out basis? Understood that he, because he comes from another country and they got a lot of money for rights to broadcast back and get sponsorship from Japanese countries, the Dodgers did their homework, did their math crunching, and they decided Shohei Ohtani was worth $700 million. And I just... It boggled my mind that anybody could be that. But again, I'm readily admitting that projecting forward, thinking about the future when it comes to dollars and cents might not be my strong suit. I'm watching Shohei Ohtani play this year, and he's back pitching. Remember, he got hurt last year, didn't pitch. He's back pitching for the Dodgers. To say they're bringing him along slowly would be a major understatement. He pitches an inning, he pitches two innings, they got him up to three innings. At some point, you'd like to have a starting pitcher be able to go at least five, right? They haven't gotten there yet. And yes, I know they've still got 2 months to go. So when the Dodgers make the playoffs, not if, when, they're going to make the playoffs, even though they've had a kind of a tough week despite Shohei Ohtani's heroics, they're going to make the playoffs, and I assume, unless there's a setback, unless there's another injury, Shohei Ohtani will be up to legitimately starting, not so you have to use six guys out of the pen behind Shohei to finish off a game, that he'll be up to a six and or seven inning limit. But they truly are sticking to their guns that they're going to bring him along slowly. Good on them. And oh, by the way, as he's going through that process and dealing with everything and knowing how much he's got to throw and how much to add each time out, oh, by the way, he's the best hitter in baseball. And he's hit home runs in five consecutive games. That ties the Dodgers. And yes, the Dodgers have been around forever, going all the way back to Brooklyn. That counts too. The most consecutive games for home runs for a Dodger player in the history of the team. If he hits two more, he will tie the major league record for seven consecutive games. If the next two games he gets a home run, and would you want to bet against that? I wouldn't want to bet against Shohei Ohtani for anything these days with what the guy is doing. Now, Dodgers went through a little bit of a tough week. They still do have pitching injuries issues, and that's why I applaud them for being as patient with Shohei as they are. I'd want to get Shohei up to speed ASAP so I can continue to lead my National League West by a safe distance. Yeah, the Padres have hung in there, but the Dodgers are still the team to beat in the NL West. The question is, are they the team to beat in the National League? Or is it the Milwaukee Brewers? Like to think I know what I'm talking about with baseball prior to seasons, in seasons, as games are being played. I thought this could be a step backwards year for the Milwaukee Brewers. It has absolutely been a step forward year for them. Yes, they've gotten injured pitchers back. Yes, they got a big lift. And don't underestimate what a guy coming through a system, coming up from the minors, starting five games, getting a nod to make an all-star team, what kind of a boost that can give a club. And I'm not saying Mazurowski is the reason why they've got the best record in baseball. Let me repeat that. The team with the best record in baseball right now is the Milwaukee Brewers. Who'da thunk it? And they're going mano a mano with the Cubs. That division, which I thought was only going to be okay at the beginning of the year, because like I said, I thought it was a step back year for the Brewers. The Cardinals and the Reds are both playing above average, slightly above average, but slightly above average baseball. Yeah, the Pirates are bad. But the Cubs and the Brewers have both been phenomenal. They're right now 1-2 in the National League as far as records go. This is going to be, I think, a great last 2 months of the season because there's a lot to play for. Yeah, even if you get ahead in your division, and the Cubs and Brewers could go all the way till late September to who decides to win that division. The Mets and Phillies could go into late September before we figure out, decide who's going to win that division. I think the Dodgers are just better than the Padres. Sorry, Padre fans. You want to get ticked off at me? Go ahead. When yours truly steps in for Bill Ryder on my weekend show, if you don't recognize the voice, don't listen to the Infinity Sports Network on the weekends. Yours truly loves to share my platform with the great sports fans out there. I get my telephone lines open as soon as I step on the air. I look over, they're open right now. My producer, Nico Scar, tells me he's ready to take your calls at 888-710-4476. I guess I'll start by ticking off Padre fans today. Dodgers are just better than the Padres. Now, what's going to be interesting about the Padres is A.J. Preller, their general manager, is as big a gunslinger when it comes to reconfiguring rosters off-season or in-season. Not afraid to make big deals, and I think he's continuing to look to upgrade the Padres. Yeah, they're going to need another addition or two if they want to run down the Dodgers. But the NL looks great right now. The AL, Yankees lose again to the Jays. They're now 4 games behind. I thought the Jays were a playoff team. Didn't know if they're going to be able to catch the Yankees. Not only they caught them, they've moved by them. We still got 2 months to go. But to get up by 4 games says something. And the other divisions are now, the Central's been a blowout. The Tigers have been ahead by plenty all year long. Double digits, as a matter of fact, games ahead. I just checked. Guardians are now only 8 games out. 8 games out is the biggest divisional lead. When you look at everything else, Mets are 0.5 game ahead of the Phillies. Brewers are 1 game ahead of the Cubs. Dodgers are a couple of games ahead of the Padres. The Yankees have fallen 4 back, and the AL West is the Astros to command and go forward. But the biggest lead is still the Tigers. But the Tigers have done diddly squat since the All-Star game. Had they come back to the pack that bad? Are they actually that questionable? When they had the best record in baseball, and they've had it for more days than anyone else in the season so far, people wondered, are they really that good? Oh, people are wondering aloud right now, are they really that good? Because of the struggles they've had. And the Tigers all of a sudden become a team that you have to say, are they going to make a move before the trade deadline? Is something going to get done? We are 1 week away from the trade deadline. I'll throw out a couple of the names that are going around. We'll talk about the teams. You know the rationale, buyers and sellers. You can always tell who the buyers are. The question is the sellers. Because you have teams that mathematically are still in it right now. Realistically, is it too optimistic to think you could sneak in and get a wild card? Probably with some teams. But they're holding firm now. They're not ready to give up the ship until they absolutely have to. So with a week to go, we still got a bunch of teams that are deciding whether they're going to sell or not. We'll talk plenty of baseball and with the camps open around the National Football League. If you just tuned in for Bill, that's what you do. You get on when Mr. Ryder comes out and say, who's this knucklehead from the weekends? If you weren't listening earlier to Maggie and Perloff, yeah, not good news for one NFL team. And, of course, that team has to be the team that I've been rooting for since I was a wee lad, remembering back to Joe Namath winning the Super Bowl when I was 7 years old and thinking this is the greatest thing on the planet. Every single year I'm going to be celebrating when my team goes to the Super Bowl and takes it down. Haven't been back since. Yeah, I've only been waiting 60 years for that to happen again. Yes, the New York Jets have a quarterback issue. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. And the baseball trade deadline. It's a baseball football day with Jody Mack filling in for Bill Ryder here on the Infinity Sports Network. Whenever I'm on, that means plenty of chance for you and I to go back and forth. My telephone number is 888-710-4ISN, ISN being the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4476. It's a Thursday hang, Jody Mack in for Bill Ryder here on Ryder Than You.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast. Welcome back to Ryder Than You.
Unnecessary shots at the Golden Goose. By the way, not all geese are worthy of it, but a Golden Goose is a Golden Goose. I happen to think Caitlin Clark's talented. What makes a talented goose? I don't know. But treat the Golden Goose well is probably a good philosophy.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Jody Mack in for Bill Ryder today here on Ryder Than You. This portion of the show sponsored by Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Going on right now. Get deals so right, it's almost feeling wrong. Don't miss out. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. And my producer, Nico Scar, just sent me this live read via text. And it had to come in between other texts. I get my fair share of tweets, but I'm not inundated by texts. I don't live taking texts on my phone. But there is one group that I, when it gets going, I can't stop. Tell me if you know anything like this, do anything like this. I've got a group that I'm on a text chain with. It's me and five of my very best friends, not only from college, but in my life, because they became that good. I've been to all their weddings. They all came to my wedding. Now, I haven't seen any of these guys because they're kind of spread out. Most of them are in the New York, New Jersey area, and I'm in South Jersey, but one of my buddies lives up in North Jersey. Some of them a little further up near where we went to school, which is upstate New York. So we were supposed to get together a couple of years ago, and sure enough, I got sick, so I couldn't go, so I missed out on the chance to go hang with my guys. But we're all diehard Jet fans. There's six of us. And during the games, when they play on Sunday, everybody's watching them at the same time. And yes, the texts are just flying back and forth between people, poking fun, whining, moaning, complaining, celebrating far too infrequently. But we're always texting when the Jets are playing, which is ridiculous. It's just one after the other after the other. You might have even just heard my latest. You get the little bing from the phone when you get a text. Just once again bemoaning the fact that we're Jet fans, that it's more above and beyond a labor of love, that it's probably suicidal to want to be a Jet fan, masochistic, call it whatever you want. But sure enough, and I'm on a headset before the show's about to start, and the breaking news sounder goes off here on the Infinity Sports Network that at Jet Camp, quarterback Justin Fields had to limp off the field and then was taken via a cart to the Jets' inside training facilities. Now, Maggie made a good point when I was listening. I know I've been out there at the Jets' training camp. It's a bit of a ride. Jets have a whole bunch of fields, so you don't know what field they're on, but it can be a pretty significant walk from a given field all the way back to the training facility and where the training rooms are and everything. So you don't know if he really had to take the cart or if he was told to take the cart. It's a lower leg injury. Don't know what it is just yet if we get updated information. I need to know, so I'll be passing it on to you. I was actually looking forward to this Jet season. I look forward to almost every Jet season. I'm a half glass half full guy to begin with, but every once in a while I just know they're going to be pathetic. I did not think that was going to be this year because of the addition of Mr. Fields. We'll see what kind of coach Aaron Glenn's going to be. He was a good player. I enjoyed rooting for him when he was on the Jets. He's done a nice job running the Detroit defense the last couple of years, so I thought he was as good as anyone else who was available during this offseason to hire as the head coach when they knew they needed a new one, pushing Mr. Saleh out the door last year. So I was ready to believe in the new coach, that the Jets made a good hire. But more than anything, I believed in the quarterback. You guys will remember, I said here on the Infinity Sports Network, if you had to be on one side or the other of 50-50, I was 49-51 on Aaron Rodgers coming to the Jets because been there, done that. Yeah, Brett Favre did the same exact thing. Unbelievable Hall of Fame career in Green Bay, wants out, needs out, forces his way out, and where does he land? With the New York Jets. How many playoff games did Mr. Favre win with the Jets? That would be zero. And I feared that Rodgers would be the same, not because of their game. And, oh, by the way, Favre, of course, gets good again, or better again. I shouldn't say good. He was good with the Jets. And takes Minnesota to the playoffs, but never quite got the Jets there. First game, Aaron Rodgers goes down, misses an entire season. Last year, he put up numbers, but if you're a diehard like me, you watch the game, some of those numbers were really empty numbers. Late in games, didn't really keep the Jets in the game. And you knew he was going to be a diva and a half. Oh, and he was. So the 2 years came and went, and the Jets rightfully moved on from him. So you invest what you invest to get Aaron Rodgers there. Not only the money that you paid him, but what you traded to get him, and the other moves that you made around him as per his dictating. Yeah, it was frustrating as all get out. Needed an absolute new fresh start. And you telling me they're giving it to Justin Fields? One of my favorite quarterbacks coming out of college on the last five or six drafts. Loved him at Ohio State. Talked him up a blue streak. Leading up to the draft, when he was coming out, the Jets had the second pick in the draft, and I continually lobbied, both here on the Infinity Sports Network, on my Philadelphia shows, on the rare show I would get on WFAN in New York, and with, you'll recognize the name, Brandon Tierney, used to host here on the Infinity Sports Network, now is the midday host on WFAN. He and I went back and forth, on air, off air, a couple of times, on the fact that Justin Fields deserved to be the second pick in the draft. He wasn't. Zach Wilson was. Massive mistake by the Jets. Not only did they not take the guy I wanted them to take, they took the guy I couldn't stand them taking. And yes, I was right about Zach Wilson. He wasn't a pro quarterback, overstated, overrated, because he had a pretty strong arm and played in a lesser conference. So he put up big numbers. Failure. Now, Fields has been with two previous teams. I thought the Bears did him dirty. They didn't give him enough weapons to deal with and a good enough offensive line in front of him. He moved on from Chicago to Pittsburgh. Sure enough, he gets the start last year because Russell Wilson's hurt. Pittsburgh, all they do is win games with him as the quarterback, but soon as Wilson's ready, they put him in as the starter. So I thought he got shortchanged in both of his first two stops. That's me. But I might be a little biased because I talked him up such a blue streak before he ever hit the National Football League. But now he's my guy coming to my team. I waited years for him to show when, yeah, I would like to see them use the second pick in the draft. They've got him on a reasonable two-year contract. He's motivated. The Jets are motivated. I thought this could work out really well. It's Aaron Rodgers all over again. Only earlier, he's getting hurt in the second practice of the year. At least Aaron made it all the way through camp. He didn't get hurt until the first game. Man, well, I'll have my producer and the people behind the scenes here at the Infinity Sports Network see if they can find out any more information about it. Can the season actually, I just, shared my tickets. I'm a Jets season ticket holder. I mentioned that before here on the air. And I shared the tickets with a old friend, guy I went to grade school with, as a matter of fact. I'm telling you about my college friends. Going way back, a buddy who I went to grade school with is who I shared Jet tickets with, our season tickets. I just got him his season tickets this week. I paid for him. Oh, my God. The Jets made you pay last year. So I paid for him a long time ago, but he's getting his tickets this week in the mail. And already the season is on thin ice. I can hear the ice cracking beneath me before the season ever starts. So NFL stuff, baseball stuff, and when we come back, a new segment on the Writer Than You show. At least it is for me. It tells me I haven't filled in for Bill in a while. Next hour, we'll do buy or sell. That's a staple. No, they've been doing that for a long time. I've done that many a time. But would you rather is a segment that Bill does on Thursdays. We'll do a little of that when we come back. Phone's open. Yeah, I haven't gotten a call yet. See, I get it. This is a Bill Ryder show, and he does a phenomenal job with it. But he's got his fan base, and they're used to what they're going to get on the show. I fill in. I do my show a little differently. I do it on the weekends, but I try and bring it with me wherever I go, and that's giving you guys a chance to chime in and give me what you think is going down, what's right, what's wrong about the world of sports. We've got the open telephone lines at 888-710-4476. If you want to get on, hour number one, please do so. Got a good guest. I'll give you details on that when we come back in hour number two. So if you want to get in to talk about the baseball races, the trade deadline, or camps opening up and people going down like Justin Fields, get on my phone lines, 888-710-4476.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
My wife, what is her take on chores? How would I describe this? I would describe it as no. It's more of a, what are you talking about? She has chores amnesia. How do you think the towels get done? I don't know, the towel fairy? No, man, it's me, your husband, who does a sports talk radio show. All right. I bet Joe Theismann doesn't do the laundry. Either way, we're going to have him wash some sports takes for us next year. I'm Writer Than You.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
No towels being done here. I'm not doing the towels. Sorry about that, Bill. Jody Mack in for Mr. Writer, Writer Than You here on the Infinity Sports Network. Still got an hour and change to play. Still got open phones if you want to check in on either the baseball trade deadline, stuff that went down last night, Shohei Ohtani, five straight games with home runs, you tell me, or the NFL camps opening up. Each camp, every camp is now open. So the season has officially gotten underway. Yeah, I know we haven't played a game yet. Hall of Fame first, rest of the preseason before they get going for real come September. Got a good guest to discuss all that today. If you catch my show on the weekends here on the Infinity Sports Network, you know I enjoy greatly punching up Matt Verderame, one of the best NFL writers in the entire country. Does it for Sports Illustrated. He's got his own podcast. I'll give you the details on Matt Verderame, who's going to join me at the top of the hour. But right now, it is officially time for a, at least as far as I know, a new staple of the Writer Than You show. Time for Would You Rather?
It's time for Would You Rather on Writer Than You.
All right, Jody, why don't we start in the National Football League? We've got a couple of players still dealing with contract disputes, specifically Trey Hendrickson with the Cincinnati Bengals and Micah Parsons for the Dallas Cowboys. Would you rather, going into training camp, be in the Bengals position or the Cowboys spot?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm going to surprise some people here. I'd rather be in the Bengals spot because Trey Hendrickson could hold out at this stage of his career. He's already made a nice chunk of money, but he is on his second contract, which means he's knowing his time in the NFL. And some guys play into their late 30s, not usually defensive linemen, so make sure you acknowledge that. If he were to really get ticked off and not take the Bengals seriously and think there's not a compromised position, it's my way or the highway, he could sit out for a significant amount of time. that would not be good for him, and I think he's got to realize that. So I actually think it's, even though Cincinnati is historically frugal and cheap, I actually think they got a better chance to get a deal done because nobody knows what Jarrah's thinking down there in Dallas. He does the same thing over and over and over again. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing and expecting different results. He waited on Dak. He ended up making Dak the highest paid quarterback, even though everyone knew he wasn't the best quarterback in the National Football League. He waited on C.D. Lamb. He made him the new highest guy. That's what Jerry does. And he always thinks that somehow his tough guy attitude is going to get the players to falter, and they don't. So I think Michael Parsons is going to get paid. I think Michael Parsons is going to wait till after the Hendrickson thing gets done, and then he's going to step in and say, I need that much more. T.J. Watt set the bar. Hendrickson's going to try and get to it, if not surpass it. He might. And then Michael Parsons is going to blow it away. And I had a couple of NFL top writers, opinion generators, on my show this past weekend on the Infinity Sports Network. And they both were surprised when I said, I don't think it's out of the question that the Dallas Cowboys trade Micah Parsons. Because somewhere along the line, Jerry's got to win one of these, right? He keeps losing to the players. He might just be crazy enough to say, yeah, we can replace Micah Parsons. We can get the better of a deal, a trade for Micah Parsons. So I think Micah Parsons has a better chance of being traded than Trey Hendrickson. So that's why I would say I'd rather be a Cincinnati Bengal fan than a Dallas Cowboy fan right now.
Similar question over to baseball. We talked at the top of the hour about the trade deadline being just a week away, and a couple of teams have struggled as of late. The Yankees and Phillies were both in first place for most of the year, now find themselves in wild card positions. So a week before the deadline, would you rather be in the Yankees or Phillies spot?
Philly spot for a very simple reason, math. The Phillies are a half a game out of first place, and they are even in the loss column, which is always the key, more key of the two, because that means you've played less games. Phillies win their next game on a day where the Mets aren't playing. They're tied. Yankees are four games out, and the Yankees just got beat by the team that they have to try and catch. So this isn't even a statement on who's got the better roster between the Yankees and the Phillies, who's got the better overall coaching staff, who's got a better fan base. No, none of that matters. Much more important, give me the standings. You're right to say they're both in wild card positions right now, but the Mets are only a half a game ahead of the Phillies, while the Yankees are four games behind the Blue Jays. Oh, yes, I'd much rather be in the Phillies' position than the Yanks.
A couple of teams on the bubble in terms of wild card spots, hovering around 500. So the question here is, would you rather be one of those mediocre teams that doesn't have championship aspirations but may squeak in, or be a team that's committed to a full rebuild?
Yeah, I want to get in the playoffs. I'm an obnoxious fan. I always believe that my team can pull off the surprise, borderline miracle. We've seen some teams from the wild card in a whole bunch of sports. They don't have wild cards in basketball and hockey, but you know what a wild card would be. They play in the NBA, and we haven't seen any play-in team make a major run. But we've seen wild card teams in baseball get into play. Just a couple of years ago, Arizona Diamondbacks, wild card, ran the table in the NL, made their way into the World Series. Yeah, they lost to the Texas Rangers, but they made their way in. Texas didn't win their division either. They got in as a wild card. Two wild card teams in the World Series. So, yeah, until I can legitimately look at the roster, legitimately look at the stand and go, yeah, no, stop it. You make the playoffs. You're a below 500 team. If you're at 500 or slightly above 500, the wild card standings aren't going your way right now, I'd not be giving up. There are a lot more things that go into it, contracts and your roster makeup and what your ownership wants to do. But if I'm a general manager and I can realistically, mathematically look at where I'm at, yeah, I'd rather be hopefully going forward and sneaking in and grabbing a wild card spot than saying, all right, we give, we'll trade, we'll take a step back. Well, and oh, by the way, you want your fans continue to come for the games for the last 2 months, but you're trading off your best players. That doesn't bode well. So count me as a always looking forward, glass half full guy. I want a team that's still clinging to a playoff chance.
Over to college football. This week is Big Ten Media Days. A lot of coaches talking about potential college football playoff formats if they do indeed expand to 16 teams. Currently now at 12 after we expanded from 4. It continues to go up. One of the options is a 5-11 format where it would just be the 5 conference champions along with 11 at-large bids. The Big Ten and SEC, though, hoping that they could get more automatic qualifiers. They want as many as 4 out of the 16 teams. Would you rather go with the 5-11 format or give those bigger conferences more automatic qualifiers?
Yeah, I think that's pretty a foolish argument. Yeah, sure. The 5 teams, 5 conferences get there too. Does the SEC and the Big Ten actually believe somehow their second place team isn't going to get a bid out of 16? You got 11 wild card teams. And in the 2 massive conferences, and yes, the drop-off after the top 2, the next 2, to the other one, there's some significant drop-offs in there, but it's as big from the top 2 to the next 2 as anything. So you know 2 SEC, a minimum of 2 SEC, maybe 5 SEC teams get in, maybe 5 Big Ten teams get in. Oh, they're going to get their spots. You think they're really going to be left out? So the whole, we need to have more guaranteed spots is a joke. We know how this thing is going to go. And I know we've only had this expanded playoff in place for a couple of years now. But common sense, sometimes common sense goes out the window. Not here. The SEC and the Big Ten will be fine. They're going to get enough teams in. They're going to be, the argument's going to come down to, ooh, is the 4th Big Ten seeded team better than the 5th big SEC and what should be the rankings? No. It nothing to do with guaranteed spots. Foolish, stupid argument in both of those conferences if you got teams that are making it.
We've got about a month to go before the start of the college football season. We'll take a look at some national championship odds. Who do you like better here? What would you rather? Take Georgia at plus 700 to win it all or Penn State at plus 750?
Georgia at plus 700. Even though we don't know how good the quarterback at Georgia is going to be. Allard has been there for a while. He's shown a level of skill, but people are always talking about it. They were talking about him as being a first-round draft pick last year, and I didn't see it. I thought he wisely went back to Penn State for another year. And I think he'll have another really good collegiate season. But does that guarantee him to be a first-round draft pick, a top-10 draft pick? I don't think so. Now, if he comes out and makes a liar out of me, I'll eat all the crow I have to. But I just think he's a really good college quarterback. Now, the question you're asking me is about college football, not about how they project to the pros. You're just saying, who's going to win a national championship this year at what odds? I guess it's because I don't believe in Allard being a franchise-type level quarterback, a guy who's going to take the team, put him on his back, take him all the way to a national championship. So the unknown of the quarterback situation in Georgia, to me, is as good, if not better, than the known quarterback at Penn State. So I'd take, if I get one of those two at basically the same price, give me the dog. Sorry, Ryan Hickey.
All right, last one for you. This is more of a fun one, not really sports related, but would you rather spend a day exploring space or the ocean?
I thought you were going to ask me a question about Ozzy Osbourne, but that's okay. Yeah, I'm kind of scared of both. The ocean is great. I love to go to the beach. I'm not afraid of sharks. I know we just had the major anniversary of Jaws 2 weekends ago. I'm not afraid to jump into the ocean. Down below, significantly below, where there can be little monster killer fish that you don't see coming, like a shark at the top with his fin out of the water. Yeah, I don't need any part of that. No way. I'm not a scuba diver. I don't do any of that stuff. But, and not because I'm afraid of heights, because I'm not afraid of heights. I've been to the top of the Empire State Building, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but no, oxygen disappears when you get out there. And if somehow your suit comes unhooked, you're a dead man. So my preference is right here on my couch, going nowhere fast. Thank you very much. I don't need either the ocean or space. I'm not the thrill seeker I once was at a younger age, but not a bad question out of you. Appreciate it, Nico Scar. All right, Jody Mack, hour done. We still got an entire hour to play, and we will start next hour talking about the National Football League with Matt Verderame from Sports Illustrated. You know, I'm a Philly guy. My teams are Jets because I'm a former New Yorker, been a Jet fan forever, and I became a Philly guy, moved to Philly 30 years ago. They're my NFC team. So I got an AFC team and an NFC team. I haven't even touched on the Eagles yet. I got Eagle issues. Not on their talent, not on their coaching, not on their level of competition or what they had to do to replace a whole bunch of free agent defensive players that left. I got a lot of faith in Vic Fangio, their defense coordinator. He did a phenomenal job, stepped in there last year, and made the Eagles the number one defense overall in the National Football League. No, the question I have is about attitudes, and that's how they say it in Philadelphia. They're just trying to pretend and make believe they're not actually the defending champions of the National Football League. Really? I think it sounds to me like they're a little scared. That's one of the things I'll run by. Matt Verderame of Sports Illustrated. He joins me next. Jody Mack filling in for Bill Ryder on Ryder Than You.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
It is Ryder Than You, but you've got me, Jody Mack, filling in for Bill today. Thank you much for being part of it. We'll get the phones reopened in the second hour here at some point. But first things first, I got a very good guest to punch up. If you listen to me on weekends, you know I get this guy up probably altogether too often. I'm lucky that he enjoys coming on the show because I ask often, and every single time I get good insight and info when I punch him up. He writes every day on the NFL for Sports Illustrated. He also hosts the Matt Verderame Show, appropriately named, on Patreon. Matty V joins me here on the Infinity Sports Network. How are you, Mr. Verderame?
I'm good, Jody Mack. How are you?
Very good. All right, back to work. The season is officially underway. All camps are open. First couple of days of camp. And the Lions and the Chargers are already ahead of things because they got to play in the Hall of Fame game. But everybody else is on similar footing thereafter. How important are the first couple of days of camp? Laying the groundwork, putting certain things in place. It's always fun to know that the sport has returned, but can the importance of the first couple of days be overstated?
Yeah, Jody, I think it can. I mean, look, I think the biggest thing, truthfully, when you're getting, you're trying to knock the rust off, right? I mean, you know, there's no pads yet. Pads will come on either late this week or early next week for teams. And so, you know, you're getting in there, and honestly, you're trying to avoid those non-contact injuries. You know, unfortunately, you know, those will crop up here and there. You know, but that to me is part of it, you know, knocking off that rust. And then, yeah, I think it's about setting a tone for the year, which certainly that part is very important. I think that's especially true for new coaches, new quarterbacks. You know, you look at Ben Johnson, it was reported yesterday, he threw his first team offense off the field a couple times. Like, you know, look, you're trying to hardwire a new tone when you're in a position like that. So that, I think, is an important thing. But for teams that are established, Philadelphia's, the Baltimore's, the Buffalo's, the Kansas City's, I think it really is just about coming in and knocking off some rust the first, you know, 4 or 5 days camp.
All right. I need you to pick one of the two C words for me, because one was used almost exclusively for decades, and it has been replaced for the most part by a different one. I'm old school, so I like the old one better. Which is more accurate in describing what teams are doing this week, building chemistry or building culture?
I would say that for most teams, it's chemistry. Now, you know, look, I do think, like I said, teams with new coaches, there's some culture stuff, like Vrabel, for an example. I think that's a culture. I think that is like, hey, look, we're coming in, this is going to change. You know, same thing with the Ben Johnson, guys like the Aaron Glenn with the Jets. I do think that is a more of a culture situation. But for a lot of teams that have been together two, three, four plus years, it's a chemistry. You know, you're always folding in new guys, whether it's a new rookie class, whether it is, you know, some free agents you brought in, a trade. I think they're trying to create that, especially, you know, quarterbacks and receivers, or, you know, guys on the lines, you know, trying to get a feel for playing next to each other. I think a lot of it does come down to knowing what a guy is going to do on your team, anticipating it, being able to play a little bit faster.
All right, stories that have been kind of dominating the offseason headlines the last few weeks are the high-paid edge rushers. We know what T.J. Watt just reset the bar at. It's a good gig if you can get it. But we've got Trey Hendrickson, who is not showing up at Bengal camp, and you got Michael Parsons, who's not participating at Cowboy camp, and they both want to get into that same $40 million-plus neighborhood. Which is a bigger problem, the Bengals problem or the Cowboy problem?
I'd say the Bengals, in the sense that I don't know that the Bengals are going to fix the problem. Like the Cowboys, I mean, Jody, you know this, like Jerry loves Jerry. So he's going to make himself a headline. That's just what he does. It's who he is, right or wrong, better or worse. Like Jerry loves Jerry. He's going to make sure that we all sit here and talk about him. And he's succeeding at that point. But he also always pays his stars. He does. I mean, to his credit, he opens up his wallet. And honestly, because he loves to hear himself talk and he loves to be in the media, he overpays a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Like, if he had signed Parsons a year ago, what are we talking, 35 a year? Probably going to be 42 a year now, right? I mean, you know, he's going to cost himself a lot of money, but Jerry looks at that as the price of doing business. The Bengals, it's 1 year, $21 million right now for Hendrickson. Well, Hendrickson's coming off four straight Pro Bowl years. Two straight years of 17.5 sacks. He led the league last year. He was the first team All-Pro. I get that he's 30. If you're the Bengals, what argument do you have for not giving him 3 and 120? What's the argument? You don't have an argument. And they, according to Hendrickson, I believe this is the Diana Rossini of The Athletic, they have not even offered guaranteed money past this year. I mean, so they're not even close. And I really do wonder if the Bengals dig in here. I wonder if Hendrickson digs in as well and says, cool, you don't want to pay me? I'm not playing. I'm not showing up. I'll show up just enough to accrue a season.
Yep.
But that I think is a real thing. I do not know that that's going to have an easy fix.
But here's where I think the Cowboys could be in just as bad a position. Like you said, Jerry's Jerry. He marches to the beat of a different drummer, and oftentimes he'll do things that other teams wouldn't do, other owners wouldn't do. I don't think it's out of question. If their negotiation is going, let's say Micah wants to jump it to 45, and Jerry's going, I'm not playing any defensive line, $45 million. I think there's a chance that they could actually trade Micah Parsons. So starting with the assumption that they're open to doing it, is that doable? Would there be a team that would give Jerry enough for him to pull the trigger on it, to have the cap flexibility, to be able to bring him in, but then do the extension afterwards? Can Micah Parsons be traded?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think a lot of times, you know, people just assume, oh, what kind of thought is that? Of course, like 30 teams in the league? No, it's not like. The problem is, to your point, you're going to have to not only pay Micah Parsons, let's say he wants for 45, right? So, okay, you're going to have to pay him $45 million a year, and if you trade for him, he's got all the leverage in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not. You have no leverage at that point. Okay, he wants 45 a year. You're going to have to give up what to make it worth Dallas's while? I mean, you're at minimum probably looking at what, a first? And a third, if not even more than that. I mean, maybe Jerry even says, hey, look, I want two firsts. Now, do I think he'd get two firsts? No. I think he'd probably get a first in a day two. And if he got that, how many teams are in a position where they're going to give up a first rounder, let's call it a third rounder, and pay Parsons, what, 4 and 180 with a 120 guarantee? Like, yes. I think the answer is, yeah, they could do it, but, man, you're probably talking about I don't know, you count on one hand how many teams could actually swing something like that.
Right. Not a lot, but there might be a couple. So I'm not writing it off as a possible. Yeah, I think that Jerry could at least under wraps, and Jerry almost does nothing under wraps, but if he could keep it under wraps, I think he could have some conversations with some teams. We'll see. But one more Jerry question before we let it go. Jerry is, you could probably make an argument, the most successful owner, depending on how you define it, in the history of the National Football League. But that's putting winning championships aside, because it's been a long time since he did that. But what he's done to raise the value of the Cowboys and other teams around the National Football League, there's a lot that Jerry has done to make money for both himself and his fellow owners. But he does seem to mishandle things with his own team, and the fact that he's the general manager thereof, and he is from time to time saying things that just don't make sense and or make moves. And I'm telling you, he could trade Micah Parsons that makes sense. Is there going to be anyone who's ever going to step up and say, Jerry, it's about time you turn the reins over to someone else?
I think it would have to be Stephen. It would have to be Stephen Jones. I don't know. He's not going to listen to me. I mean, maybe his daughter Charlotte, like maybe she could get noisy. What was it? A couple of years ago when somebody asked Jerry about meddling and Jerry got really heated about it. And it's like, how could you say I'm meddling? I mean, Jerry looks at this is his team. This is his baby. He played football in college. He knows more about football than you. And listen, I respect the fact Jerry Jones doesn't know a lot about football, but they have not gone to a conference title game since 1995. There's a reason. I mean, we're now on 30 years now where they have not gone to a conference title game.
Yep.
And I mean, this is the Dallas Cowboys. They can get any free agent they want for the most part. He is, to be fair to Jerry, he will always pay. Mostly anyway, unless you're Micah Parsons. I think there does need to come that a point where that conversation, I mean, hell, I would argue that conversation should have been happening 10 years ago. But I don't know, Jerry. I mean, it's hard to tell somebody who is the judge, jury, and executioner. Hey, you've got to turn it over. I think Steven's got to be the guy to do it. And you know, so far, that hasn't happened.
Yeah, and see, the problem with that is, and we're probably getting too deep into the Dallas Cowboys here, if Steven's telling Jerry it's time for you to back off, well, Steven's taking over. And if I'm Jerry, I'm going, well, wait a minute. You're telling me so that you can take over? Maybe his daughter Charlotte could actually be the one, because, yeah, I don't think Steven's going to be able to talk him into it. All right, staying in the NFC East, I got some intrigue with the Philadelphia Eagles. You know I'm a Philly guy. Eagles win the Super Bowl last year. Unbelievable season. Handle the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Had a tricky offseason. Lost some guys on defense. That's what happens. You win. Guys got to get paid. Other guys can't be paid. So the Eagles are not a lock to go back to the Super Bowl, but I still think they have as talented a roster as anybody. My question about the Eagles is their attitude. Nick Sirianni says, don't dare say repeat in front of me. That we're not repeating. We're out for sustained excellence. And yesterday, Jordan Mailata said, we're not defending anything. Yeah, we won the championship in 2024, but that's done. We're not defending anything. And Jalen Hurts refuses to wear his Super Bowl ring because he's already turned that page and is looking forward to 2025. Are they just running away from a responsibility here? Yeah, you're the defending champions. You're attempting to repeat. You can say it's not, but anybody else can say it is. I think thou dost protest too much that they're playing this, we've already turned the page, gotten ready for the next season thing a little too much. I'm not sure if I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's got an angle, right? I mean, there's always that you know, that mindset mentality that every team's going to develop, and this is clearly the tack they're going to take. Do I think it really matters? No. I mean, yeah, to your point, I mean, I agree with you. Look, they can say whatever they want. They're defending champions. They're trying to reap. That's what you're doing. I mean, you can sit there and say you're not, but, like, come on. That said, yeah, I mean, if I had to pick a team in the NFC right now, it's hard to pick against them. They're still loaded. Look, I think the big question with Philadelphia is going to be, defensively, I still think they're going to be fine. I mean, yes, they lost some pieces. I still think that defense is going to be very good. Offensively, they have a great line. I think Hurts is severely underrated. How people don't put him in their top 10, I have no idea. But look, Barkley, in all likelihood, as great as he is, I mean, just historically speaking, he is not going to rush for 2,000 yards again. It's just nobody that I went back and looked for a piece I wrote for SI a couple weeks ago. I think one guy has ever had a 2,000-yard year and then followed it up with at least 1,400 yards, and most guys are right around 1,100. So can the Eagles be more of a team that, hey, look, you have to throw the ball a little bit more. You're going to have to rely a little bit more on the pass catchers. Now, obviously, they got Brown and Smith. You're loaded there. But, you know, Goddard is a little older. The depth at receiver is a little bit of a like that. I think if there's an area with Philadelphia that I'd look at and go, okay, what about that? That is probably the thing that if you're not running the ball the way they were last year, let's just say they're a good rushing team, but they're not an all-time historic running the ball team, then does that expose some cracks? But I still think when I look at that, look, I think there are a handful of teams that are going to the Super Bowl, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the Rams I like a lot this year, the Lions. It's probably those six teams. I mean, that's probably it. If you're in that group, you're in a pretty damn good spot going into training camp.
We'll see if the Eagles do rely on the pass a little bit more. I think they could and actually could be outstanding at it. I'm with you. I'm a Jalen Hurts fan and think he's woefully underrated. All right, no problems with the quarterback in Philadelphia. One of the most intriguing teams starting the season this year is the Browns because they have not one, not two, not three, but four viable potential starting quarterbacks in their camp. I know the coach came out and said yesterday, we'd rather get it decided earlier rather than later. Okay, so it's all going to be determined by who throws the best out pass at practice during the next 2 weeks. When push comes to shove, what is Cleveland going to do? Are they going to worry more about winning an extra game or two in 2025, or will it be about the future?
I don't know why teams bother with this stuff. It's going to be Flacco. Flacco is going to be the starting quarterback. I mean, now let's just be real. I mean, it's going to be Flacco. He's been there before. He knows the offense. He's a big grizzled veteran in the room. Stefanski trusts him. Like, here's the other side of this. And Jody, you know this. Look, if you are the Browns, let's say, oh, you're Kevin Stefanski. If you start one of the two rookies, whether it be Dillon Gabriel or Shador Sanders, specifically Shador Sanders because of all the hype around, if you start one of those guys and they don't play well early and they're just flat not ready, if you bench that guy, you destroy that guy. That guy's confidence is now shot, and the team questions whether he can do it because he's been bent. If you start Flacco for the first half of the year, and you bench Flacco to go with one of these kids, that's fine. Who cares? You know, there's no downside to that. And then you let those kids play out the string, and okay, fine, you see what you got. But if you start them too early and then you pull the plug, that's the risk, right? You can't do that. So I just think if you're the Browns, look, you play Flacco. He's your best shot to win if you have any shot to win at all. And then after, you know what, after so much time, if you're 2-7, 2-8, yeah, you play Sanders, you play Gabriel, you see what you got. But I would be shocked if the Browns just come out week one, they're like, yep, it's Shador Sanders. The only way I think that happens is if it's an ownership decision. If Haslam comes down from on high and just says, look, we have to have some excitement. We got to put butts in the seats. We're playing this kid. I think that is the only way that that's going to happen.
The way you lay it out makes too much sense. Number one, it's boring. I don't want that to happen. And number two, it's the Browns, and they don't always do things that make sense.
So which is why Jimmy Haslam could get involved.
Exactly.
If he gets involved, then things change in a hurry.
Well worth keeping an eye on. All right, last question for you. Rule changes in the NFL this year. Doesn't look like anything massive, but there are a couple that could have impact, including the new tinkering of the yardage on the kickoff. I applaud them because they didn't get the quite exact results they want with returns last year. So let's see if we can make it better. Good on them for that. But Sony Hawkeye technology on first downs, the line to gain, I'm always up for making the game better. Technology usually does, but doesn't always. And the new overtime rule, both teams get a possession. any of these rules excite you? Anything that you're going to be talking about in week number 9? Can't believe this is happening. This is so improved the game or so hurt the game. Is there a rule change that will have us talking about it halfway through the season?
The overtime stuff's fine. The kickoff stuff's fine. I actually wrote a little bit about the Hawkeye stuff because I'm 36, but I don't know. I have an old soul. I will dearly miss the chain gang. I will miss them. I don't care. Look, I'm not saying it's not going to make it better. I understand what happened in the Aces title game last year and everybody going berserk. Did Allen get it? Did he not? I think there's a certain amount of drama when those guys come out with the chains and it's close. And you're like, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be really tight. I have to admit, I am openly rooting for there to be a big game this year when the technology fails and they have to go back to the chain gang, because there will be a chain gang at every game. And if Hawkeye goes down, if there's a technological failure, they have to go back to the chain. I kind of want that to happen in a really big game. I want the chains involved. I do. I have to admit to it.
I love it. You and I are on the exact same page there. All right, Matt Verderam Show on Patreon. When do the new episodes drop? How can the people check it out?
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, hour-long shows. And then you can check out all my work over at SI.com. You can follow me on Twitter at my name, Matt Verderam. I am too online. I do too much. So you'll have no problem finding my work anywhere you want to search for it.
And you're going to find him right here with me too many times during the season. Matty V, always a pleasure, brother. Appreciate it. Enjoy camping.
Anytime. Appreciate you.
Matt Verderam, Sports Illustrated, here with us on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm Jody Mack, filling in for Bill Ryder. I got you for another 40 minutes, and I got an open telephone line with your name on it. 888-710-4476. Jump aboard.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
You know what? We're going to lean into the we're nice here part of that today. Let's just lean into being nice. A kindness-infused Writer Than You coming at you for the next 2 hours. That is a challenge I'm not sure I can meet. I'm looking at my executive producer, Ryan Hickey, and accepting that it's going to be a big challenge I may not be able to meet.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
J-Mac here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, filling you in for Bill Ryder. I guess we can try kindness here for the last 35 minutes. Hit me up on the phones, 888-710-4476. This portion of the show brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group right now. Get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. All right. Promise you the phones were open. Got a call. Want to take it before we do buy or sell. Let me get Robert from Pennsylvania up here on the Infinity Sports Network. Morning, Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I just called a first-time caller, but a long-time sports talk show listener. And actually, I used to listen to sports radio all the time when I was driving until I had a stroke and lost my vision to the left, so I couldn't drive that much, right? So I was just curious, I really enjoyed listening to Bill Ryder and Ryan Hickey and listening to you today, so I've gotten back into sports radio. But nice. My question is kind of like, no matter what you do, in music or radio, you're going to be compared to someone else. But I was wondering, like, for yourself, do you look back on other people who have done the thing, like, say, Jim Rome or Scott Van Pelt or Dan Patrick, say, hey, that was kind of cool, I'll try to take a little bit of that? Or are you just trying to make your own, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you a quick story. All those guys whose names you mentioned are stars in the industry who I looked up to over the years. And I don't know if I try and model myself after them, but I take notes on things that they do right and or wrong. One of the biggest compliments I was ever paid was by Peter Gammons. Do you recognize the name?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I had Peter on as a guest, known Peter for a very long time, ballparks and everything else. And he called me the Ben Zobrist of sports talk radio. And if you don't remember Ben Zobrist, he was a guy who bounced around to a couple of different teams, played almost every single position. Oh, by the way, when he would show up, teams would win championships, and he got himself a couple of World Series rings. So when Peter Gammons called me the Ben Zobrist of radio, I couldn't have taken it as a bigger compliment.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. Well, I was just calling to say that, like I would say, you Ryan and Bill, I really enjoy what you guys are doing. Kind of not imitating anybody else, but what you're doing, the way you're doing it, I think is just great. So
I will pass your compliments along to both Bill and Ryan as well. Thank you for giving me mine. All right, we need to get some writer staple into the show. That would be time for Buy or Sell.
All right, Jody, why don't we head down south to Miami? Tyreek Hill and the Miami Dolphins. Hill was talking to the media, admitting that he needs to give more effort than he did last year. The Dolphins missing the playoffs in 2024. Buy or sell that you trust Miami to return to the postseason this year?
No, that's a sell. And I've been a Dolphin guy. Man, 2 years ago, I picked the Eagles and the Dolphins to get to the Super Bowl. Before the season started at like 450-1, needed them both, had to pick the winner. So I bet on both the Eagles to win and the Dolphins to win. Didn't matter who won. And the Dolphins started 4-0 and the Eagles were 5-1. I looked like a genius. And of course, the Dolphins didn't go anywhere when they made the playoffs. And I'm a Tua guy, but no, I'm down on that team. I don't think they've got enough defense. I think they may have some chemistry issues. I think their coach is on a little bit of a hot seat. I don't think that's being sold much, but I do believe that's the case. Yeah, no, and Tyreek Hill can get his head straight and listen to Tua and apologize to his teammates. I still don't think it's enough. I'm not high on the Dolphins at all this year. Sell.
Bo Nix is entering his second season with the Denver Broncos. He actually met with Drew Brees looking to improve his game. And when you look back at the 2024 draft class, it was a loaded one in terms of quarterbacks between Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix all going in the first round. Buy or sell that Bo Nix is the second best behind Jaden Daniels amongst those quarterbacks?
Depends on how you define second best. If you're saying, is there a possibility he could have the second best season this year? That's a maybe. Do I think over the course of his career he's going to be the second best quarterback in this draft? No. There's a reason why he was the last of all those guys drafted at the bottom of the round. Now, for him to step in and be as good his first season, rookie only, behind Daniels in proficiency his rookie year, give him credit for what he accomplished. Do I think there's another huge step up for him this year? No. So over the course of his career, definitely not second. This year, maybe. So I'm sitting on the fence, but if I got to make a move, I got to sell.
All right, we talked earlier about the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson in their contract dispute, haven't yet agreed on a deal. Buy or sell that the Bengals need to sign Trey Hendrickson in order to be a true Super Bowl contender?
Oh, yeah. Either that or, no, if they trade him, it won't because it'll be for draft picks, which isn't going to help them at all this year. They need to get him on the field, whatever that means. Win a battle of nerves with him and watch him fold, but come in with a chip on his shoulder. People always think that that's going to have more of an adverse effect. Oh, everyone's going to be up there. I'm walking on eggshells around him. No, they know they got to do their job, and Hendrickson will come in and play like a madman to get huge numbers to only run his value up when he gets to free agency. They need him on the field. They can't be a Super Bowl contender without him. So that's a buy.
All right, we haven't done a lot of NBA talk today. Chris Paul and Bradley Beal are headed out west to the Los Angeles Clippers. If you put them in the same lineup with James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and John Collins, buy or sell that they're now a top three team in the Western Conference.
Sell. Oh, that's easy. That's a big sell. These guys were great players. Chris Paul was a great player. Bradley Beal had his time where he's one of the best scorers in the National Basketball Association. Their better days are way behind him. And, oh, by the way, Harden's old, too. And Kawhi, they say he's healthy. He's healthy until the next injury. No, there are way better teams, a lot more talented teams in the Western Conference than the L.A. Clippers. Good on them if they think that they're going to rekindle the past of superstar players just because they're out in L.A. Yeah, that hasn't worked before, and it won't work again for the Clippers.
All right, back over to baseball. We talked about the Milwaukee Brewers with the best record in Major League Baseball, 61-41 on the year. They've won 12 of their last 13 games. There's a lot of good teams, though, in the National League this year, so buy or sell that the Brewers are the team to beat in the NL.
Yeah. I can't say yes. I have to sell because we've still got a lot of baseball to play. I didn't have them being this good a team at the beginning of the season. I still think the Phillies and the Dodgers are better. Mets are legit. It's going to be a real good NL playoff season. But if you're asking me to put Milwaukee at number one just because they're number one today, yeah, no, I'm not going to go do it. Sorry, Brewer fans. You're in. You're going to be a playoff team, and if you can get pick up where you left off when the regular season ends, more power to you. Make me eat crow. Yeah, I'm not putting them on top. Sell.
All right, we'll stay in the National League Central. The Cincinnati Reds, currently 53-50, sitting 2.5 games back of that third and final wild card spot in the NL. Buy or sell that you think that the Reds should be buyers at the trade deadline?
I touched on this earlier. There's at least five teams that today, if they had to declare buy or sell, they wouldn't. They'd stay put before they'd make the wrong move by buying when they should sell or selling when they should buy. And I firmly believe Cincinnati's in that group. Wake me 4 days from now or 5 days from now or 6 days from now, since we got seven to go till the trade deadline. I do really believe Cincinnati could go either way. So buying is a possibility. So since we're not giving a definitive answer for you Red fans out there, let's buy. I'll buy. The Reds should buy.
All right, same question over for a team in the American League. How about the Tampa Bay Rays? They have the exact same record as the Reds, 53-50. They are a game and a half out of the third wild card spot in the AL. Buy or sell that the Rays should be buyers at the deadline?
This one is always easy for me. I always believe the Rays are going to come up short. Have forever, have many a year eaten crow when they've been 90-win team in the playoffs. Oh, I'm much more wrong than right about the Tampa Rays. Because they don't have any fans anyway, I don't care if I'm ticking Rays fans off. There's two Rays fans that are listening to this show right now. The few, the proud, the foolish, the Tampa fans. No, they should not be buyers. Sell, 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 Tampa. And, oh, by the way, good luck getting your new stadium. One of these days you're going to get out of playing in a minor league park.
All right, last one for you. Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani both seem to be the front runners for the MVPs in their respective leagues. No AL player has won the American League MVP besides those two since Jose Abreu in 2020. Ohtani going now for his second straight MVP in the National League. Buy or sell that Aaron Judge and Shohei both winning the MVP again would be bad for the sport of baseball?
No, sell. Not bad, just boring. It'll be boring. Anybody, oh, I'm not going to be a baseball fan anymore because the same guys win MVP all the time. Idiot, goodbye, see you later, we don't need you. No, I can't say it's bad for baseball. I'll be rooting for Cal Raleigh just to shake it up a little bit, make a difference, have them win the division, Yankees at best get in via the wild card. He's still at least got a shot. I think Shohei's walk-away leader in the NL. But I wouldn't say it's bad for the game if they win back-to-back. All right, that'll do it for Buy or Sell. Jody Mack here with you, in for Bill Ryder. Coming back, last chance for you to check in. If you want to hit me up, got to do so now. Show's running nigh. 888-710-4476. Appreciate the patience. Latest Infinity Sports Flash. Here's Andrew Bogish.
Jody, it appears the Jets have dodged a major injury bullet. New starting QB Justin Fields carted to the locker room this morning, but head coach Aaron Glenn calling it a toe injury. The latest report is a dislocated toe, the exact severity still unclear. Now, yesterday, in their first practice of training camp, Dolphins O-lineman Byron Matos suffered an injury that required him to be airlifted to a local hospital. The team released a statement this morning saying Matos remains in the hospital, has movement in all extremities, and is in stable condition. Carlos Narvaez was the catcher in the rarely seen interference calls Monday and Tuesday in Philly. Last night, it was his bat delivering good news, a tie-breaking two-run homer, top 11, the Red Sox avoiding a three-game sweep. 9-8 over the Phils. The Rays took an 11-9 home loss from the White Sox. They've now lost 11 of 16. On the flip side, the Guardians topped the O's 3-2. Cleveland now 11-2 since a 10-game losing streak. And the MLS All-Stars beat players from Mexico's Liga MX last night 3-1 in Austin, Texas. But Messi and Miami teammate Jordi Alba stayed home, presumably for rest. They may now face a one-match suspension. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
It is Writer Than You, but Bill's got the day off. So Jody Mack filling the void here on the midday on the Infinity Sports Network. Thanks for staying loyal to Bill. He'd greatly appreciate that, tuning in, finding me. Tomorrow you find me filling in for JR Sport Brief. So you get back-to-back Mac Attack. No, let's make it four in a row, my usual weekend shifts. I'll be in for that, too. So thanks to those who tuned in today. You know where to find me tomorrow and this weekend. Couple of non-sport, well, quasi-sports items before I finish on a little bit of a sports note. I still will take a quick call if you get in right here, right now, 888-710-4476. I like sharing my platform with you guys. You got something to say before the day comes and goes, you got to pick it up and dial me right now. One of the things I will be doing tomorrow prior to hosting on the Infinity Sports Network with JR Sport Brief is, and I don't even know what time, I guess I got to look it up. I'm not sure when it's going to officially be available. Oh, but I will be watching Happy Gilmore 2 on Netflix tomorrow. Big fan of the original show. I'm a Sandler fan just in general. The fight scene with he and Bob Barker is one of the greatest movie scenes of all time. Not the greatest fight scene, but just the fact that it's Gilmore against Bob, phenomenal. And yes, the sequel will be coming out tomorrow, many years later after the original, but they're doing it again, and I'm betting I love it. Don't know how great it'll be, but I love it just because it's Happy Gilmore too. And yes, I do get Netflix. I'm a little on the frugal side. This is something I inherited from my father. My wife likes to just flat out call me cheap, but I am a guy who does watch his finances. I get Netflix. I've been getting Netflix forever, for as long as they've been a streaming service. They're the best, in my opinion, best streaming service out there. So that's not a problem. Already a Netflix subscriber. I also get Peacock because I got it at first because I'm a Comcast guy for free for 6 months to a year, whatever it was, and then I had to start paying for it, which was perfectly fine because that's where you get WWE premium live events, so I was going to pay for it anyway. And I get Amazon. This is one my wife will appreciate because she's a member. She gets shipping for free. She does a lot of shopping via whatever site she uses and then gets sent via Amazon. So, yeah, I get Amazon. I get all the NFL games because my wife spends as much money as she does shopping. I should get some benefit out of it, right? And I do in that I get football. Well, one that we do pay for and I have no problems paying for. Others, I'm sorry. I'm just not paying. I'm a cheapskate. I will be watching Happy Gilmore on Netflix. And an RIP wish out there to Ozzy Osbourne. If you listen to me on the weekends, I got a whole bunch of callers that call in, give me song lists, and they ask me to put them in order. And it's no secret that I'm a rock and roll fan. I like heavy metal. I'm not a headbanger. I'm not a metal rules all type of musical fan. But you had to love Ozzy. And when they did the show, when the Osbournes were on TV, and the family dynamic between he and his wife and his son and his daughter, I just loved it. A rock and roll icon, and he's living this really Midwest. I know he's in a Hollywood mansion, but the dynamic between all of them was just phenomenal, and it all stemmed from Ozzy, one of my all-time favorites. He will be greatly missed. Unbelievable career that he had. Our condolences to his family and friends and everyone else. Ozzy Osbourne, you will be missed. All right, couple of sports things before we get out the door here on a Thursday morning. Yes, the NFL camps are officially underway, in case you're just tuning in. Bad news for the Jets, 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 your host's favorite team for the last almost 60 years. Justin Fields first limped off the field and then was taken via cart back to the Jets locker room with a lower body injury. There was some speculation, and then it officially came out that he injured his toe. Don't know how bad the injury is. Don't know if it's a broken toe or a sprained toe or what type of injury it is, but they're saying he has a toe injury. And if you, like me, are a Jet fan, and we've got other teams out there that are very similar, just can't find a way to win a championship, decades of coming up short, not being viable and the like, oh, you kind of expect this stuff if you become a Jet fan. I like to say, being a Jet fan is a character builder. You have to have tremendous character to be a Jet fan. But this one hurts even more because I'm that big a Justin Fields fan. It's my guy with my team. And I was excited for this upcoming season. I already shared my tickets with my fellow season ticket holder. I'm hoping to go to a handful of games this year. Justin Fields better be playing. This better not be a major thing and a major issue. That's just typical Jets stuff, I should say. And this just broke, and I guess I'm going to go to my producer, Nico Scar here, to get more information because I haven't seen this. I just lamented the passing of Ozzy Osbourne. There's another major passing for someone kind of like Ozzy, quasi-sports fan. These two are actually tied together going back decades. We've had another loss in the quasi-world of sports, Nico?
Yeah, so TMZ has reported just 9 minutes ago that wrestling legend Hulk Hogan has died at age 71. Medics were dispatched to the 71-year-old WWE legend's Clearwater, Florida home early Thursday morning, with operators stating it was regarding a cardiac arrest.
Oh, that's harsh. Again, if you're a weekend listener to yours truly, you know I'm also a wrestling fan. Been following that as long as the Jets, all the way back to preschool days when I was young and just getting old enough to stay out at night. My mother used to tell me be home by 11 o'clock, and I would say, well, Mom, can we say 11:30? No, be 11 o'clock. Come on. If you know it's 11, I'll be home at 11:30. Because the wrestling will be on. Back then it was the WWWF rather than the WWE. And they aired on Saturday nights at 11:30 in the New York area. So I'd end up fighting with my mom. I'd always come in like 11:15. You're 15 minutes late. I said, I told you I was coming in at 11:30. I was 14, 15 years old, whatever I was. But I'm a diehard wrestling fan. Hulk Hogan took wrestling to another level. And a lot of people believe it was because of his cameo appearance in the Rocky movie that jettisoned wrestling into the mainstream. That was surely part of it. I was a big fan before they ever did go mainstream and had national TV contracts and the like. But Hulk did elevate the WWE and the entire world of wrestling to a new level. He did have a couple of changes in his career, left the WWE, went to their main competitor, became a heel there, came back to the WWE thereafter, is one of the biggest all-time stars in the industry. And yes, I know, it's not sports. We don't always talk about just sports here on the radio. Shoot, I just talked about Ozzy Osbourne, who, oh, by the way, also in the WWE Hall of Fame with Hulk Hogan. Oh, we lost the Hulkster. That's a tough break. All right. Hey, it was my pleasure to fill in for Bill Ryder today. Outstanding job done by Nico producing. I'll catch you tomorrow. I'll be in for JR Sport Brief a little bit later in the day. Hope to talk to you then. Have a great Thursday, everybody.